In this episode, we're going to go over three short stories, hopefully, but also a disclaimer. I've been trying to figure out a way to express the closing of Gilly's Bar and its reboot. I've been also wanting to share my thoughts of the latest Super Bowl. And as some of you may know, I was definitely rooting for one team over the other. And maybe a little bit of music that I have been practicing. So this is a episode called Three Stories. And we're going to go and touch on each of these just briefly. You know how Trevor Noah, when he used to host The Daily Show, he would have No One's Got Time for That. So he just kind of like hit on these main stories for like 30 seconds and then move on to the next one. I'm going to go maybe a little bit deeper than that, but this is what this is. We're going to have three stories, touch on a little bit of each of these things that I've been working on. I really can't finish them or really expand on them, so we'll make them short stories. Sound good? All right. From San Diego, California, this is Social Dragonfly, a podcast about an assortment of topics, but mainly about myself, getting to know more about the people around me. And I'm your host, Andrew Lee. Story 1. Gilly's. So, I had this idea of I actually worked on the cold open to this episode about Gilly's Bar. I had a whole, I recorded, when Gilly's Bar closed, the original version of it, in November of 2023. And pretty much there was 3 weeks or so, or about a month maybe, maybe it was 2 weeks. Anyway, it was really quick. And it kind of closed really quick and then reopened. And I had an idea where I would just start record. I would go to Gilly's, I'd record karaoke night, trivia night, just start recording sounds, and then I would edit them all together and make some kind of retrospective. And I made a very, it's kind of cheesy, it's a 3 minute clip where I kind of talked about going to a place you would call home, which was, for a lot of us, Gilly's Bar. And in the background, we would have sounds of karaoke night or trivia night, and then ambiance of people talking and just seeing each other and actually, let me just play it. You know the place. A place to get a cheap drink. Say hi to a fellow bar patron. Talk about your day. Talk about your relationship. Maybe put a song on that jukebox. Maybe sing that karaoke song where no one cares how well you sing it. Even if you sing it like an OG.
I looked at the bus and it was dead. They got the toast straight pound for pound. I gotta come up real quick before they start to clock. I better pull up my truck and lay them busters down.
A place that isn't just a bar. A place that's more than that. It's a place we call home. Or we used to, at least. This bar was called Gilly's. And it was our place. It was a place with our chosen family of people and friends and characters.
2001. And I love y'all so much. You became my fucking family. And Todd literally is my fucking family. But I love y'all so much.
But now it is gone. Or at least gone in the way as we knew it. And it was a damn shame. But this is not about why it no longer exists. This is about what Gilly's meant to us. Before it was gone. Okay, so yes, it's a little bit dramatic at the end. I was using a lot of poetic license and artistic vision, and that's what it turned out to be. And I had ideas of interviewing people and then having them talk about what Gilly's meant to them. And the thing is about doing that, especially when the place closes down, it's kind of hard to get everyone back together. Now, I could have just sought each and every person that I wanted to include in this episode, and I guess my vision got away from me because I wanted to include everybody, and everyone just, and you can't really record people. You had to go like in a non-bar setting to be able to record people's thoughts or something like that. I had ideas of that. But it's a very interesting thing for me to like share this now, almost, what is it, 4 to 5 months, well, 4 months or so after Gilly's closed down and then rebooted as what it is now. And since then, a lot of things has happened. One, it's grown in the new Gilly's Bar, or Gilly's House of Cocktails, is a little bit, it's a little bit hipster. I don't want to mean to say it in like kind of a negative connotation, but it's a place where I may not always go to, but I appreciate it because, one, I have two people I know there, three people I know there at least, that used to work at the old Gilly's Bar, in Eli and Lonnie, and it was really like a really great kind of experience getting to know them, and they stayed there to work there. Also, Samurai Steve with the steak night and the food that he's cooked for Trashy Trivia Nights. They still are there. Steve will eventually come back. I love them to death, and I can't really have the really strong emotional feelings that I had when Gilly's closed down and just rebooted itself. And also since then, I've actually stepped foot in the place and met one of the new owners. Really kind, really thoughtful person that I met. I can't hate him. He's really enthusiastic. He remembers faces like nobody I've ever seen before. And he kind of just remembers my face. So that's the industry and also his character and his personality. So, hi, Jacob. I don't even know you're going to listen to this, but hi. But yeah, so I really can't fault. And also, like the 4 months ago when it closed, since then, we've had a whole bunch of different bartenders from Gilly's land with new jobs. Most of them have. I'm not sure with a couple of people, but yeah, we have Cass and Tammy that landed with new positions. Tadas also works. Tadas and Cass both work at U31. Fernando, the KJ, karaoke DJ and Trashic Trivia host, he also works at U31 and amongst other places here and there. And Tammy works at some other place, at the Alibi Bar in Hillcrest. Lots of people have landed on their feet. I hope. I'm not exactly sure about a couple others, so I won't mention them by name. But I don't have the harsh feelings that I had when Gilly's went away. And the people that I usually see, I see at other places. But it's a little different now. See them at the new Trashy Trivia Night at U31. It's the same. It feels the same, but also feels different. Going to other bars, going to see other people, going back to old places, just kind of, or just maybe not really drinking as much as I used to, is exactly kind of what I've found myself doing. But I can't help but think about the last week of Gilly's and what I saw, or what I witnessed and what I saw in videos, because I wasn't there for the last night. I was actually in Jacksonville on a trip celebrating my friend Travis's 40th birthday. And the last night ended up being not the last night that they had to do it one day earlier. So I was going to miss it. Travis was going to miss it. So we saw a whole bunch of things that happened that night. One thing, people caught some kind of virus, which was crazy. But Eli proposed to his now fiance now, and he had a very, very heartfelt speech that I'm going to include right here.
All right, all I want to say is, first, I fucking love this place. I met the most incredible people ever here. I've been here for 22 fucking years. I've been working here for 3, managed for 1 year. It's the best fucking job I've ever had. All of you all are fucking amazing. It's incredible. I can't, it's so bittersweet. I'm about to come up and cry. But before I leave this place, there's one thing I have to do. I have to talk to my beautiful girlfriend here, Nicole. I couldn't have done this without her. She's the fucking love of my life. And it is an important thing to say to her.
Yeah.
fucking bartenders.
I haven't heard that in a few months now. And boy, that's unmatched. Completely unmatched. You cannot get that anywhere now. The vibe is not the same. Just the connection everyone had with each other and just celebrating Eli and Nicole and their like engagement was kind of amazing. And yeah, and that's why I kind of wanted to like make this episode. But unfortunately, it's just very, very tough to kind of get people and interview people. And I just didn't have the patience to do it. So we're going to just do it this way. What I also didn't mention was in that clip that I made was also Michelle, who worked at Gilly's back when it was a whole bunch of different types of iterations of Gilly's. And that was her talking about what Gilly's meant to her. And Gilly's means a lot more to other people than it does to me. I think there's a lot more connections, a lot more longevity everyone had. And I joined in at the very end. Well, not the very end. Well, close. That's a few years. And it's just unmatched. And since then, it's been 4 months now, everyone has a different place to go hang out or other places. There's might be other replacement bars for Gilly's. But what Gilly's is now is a little different. It's just not my cup of tea. I'll go once in a while, but not as often as I did for the other place. And that's okay. There's other things that can take up my time. But it really does make me miss seeing all the different people that I would see on a random Friday or Saturday night. And that honestly makes me sad. I know a lot of different people that Gilly's was a really great place for. It was a place where my friends watched football for a long time on Sundays. We'd take over that back patio. And we would just kind of control TVs and watch some really great games. And we had different bartenders that would make us drinks during that Sundays and stuff. And yeah, we duplicate it in our own special place. But yeah, it's kind of sad that we can't come back to what it was. There's a whole bunch of people that met their significant other spouses at Gilly's. People that met each other at Gilly's that now have children. I was a co-captain of a softball team. And it makes me sad a little bit. I try to reminisce about it, but time has passed and it's kind of healed that wound that I had when Gilly's changed ownership. Shannon Stedman wrote, "I met my husband here purely by chance. I became a realtor here. I had many highs and many lows here. Memorials, celebrations, sorrows, babies, engagements, marriages, friendships, and more. I know it sounds crazy. It was the last place I felt any sort of meaningful connection to in San Diego. Like my home base will be gone. I don't live in the area anymore. But Gilly's was also always a place I felt welcome." Angela Fatino Pryor wrote, "I met my husband here too. We both mentioned it in our vows when we married last year. I also met a group of women I am proud to call my friends. It's truly one of a kind place." And then our good friend Michael Joshua Cadena, "I don't really post my really real feelings or share them out loud, although some of you may think I'm an open book. I'm very guarded. I keep my emotions to myself. Tonight, being the last night of Gilly's, was overwhelming in the best ways. I saw so many people that make me feel real and alive again. a feeling that only I can share here, and I loved it. I walked into Gilly's 15 years ago with Michelle and Marco and Stacy to find a new karaoke spot and made so many friends that I will cherish for years to come. I said goodbye to my watering hole tonight. Like all good things must come to an end. Yeah, I've been to the new Gilly's. Honestly, it looks fabulous, but it is definitely not my kind of thing, just because there are a lot of things about it that, lots of neon lights, a different floor, everything kind of looks a little bit cleaner, I guess, but also it just doesn't have the same feel as it once did. And honestly, very frankly, it's because there's no karaoke there. And it's a creative choice why there's no karaoke at the new Gilly's. But it does feel like very different that there's no karaoke there. And I've not really sung karaoke much since then. It's just... But yeah, this is exactly kind of what... And I wanted to share a lot of different voices about Gilly's. And it's all the same, honestly. It's a lot of people that miss going there, knowing it was our cheers. And now we've kind of scattered to the wind. We are kind of like, we're kind of like walking aimless looking for our new home, because the old one, kind of someone bought the house and we just can't really go there and visit. So we have kind of reminisce in our heads and just move on, honestly. Move on. So yeah, I felt this was going to be a longer kind of segment, but this is probably the right size of the segment. But yeah, I had like a Gilly's kind of retrospective. It sounded cheesy. I was going to interview a bunch of people, and it just didn't work out. But we all know each other, and we still can keep in touch. We still have a Facebook group. We support each other. We make sure we had little. Guest takeovers. We had like guest bartenders. Props to U31 for kind of supporting a lot of the bartenders early on. Probably to find more bartenders to help work there. We've had other people. Michelle, who used to work at Gilly's, now owns Full Circle in Santee, and she has a great bar as well. And we just kind of support each other and make sure everyone's okay. If anyone's doing anything special, we're just going to support them. Drive out, say hi, have a couple drinks, and keep in touch, and just carry on. Honestly, carry on. But yeah, lots of friendships forged. I have made a lot of solid friendships along the way that I hope we can continue going. But yeah, Gilly's now, I'm no longer mad, but I'm also kind of wistful. Kind of like, I really wish that I could just see it again. And hearing all these clips, hearing that proposal by Eli, makes me want to go back. But we have pictures. There was a great group picture taken the night of Travis and I before we left on our trip for his birthday in Jacksonville. We took a picture where we stood outside the old Gilly's, and now it's kind of a beautiful picture. I will have all those memories moving forward, and I think everyone feels the same way too. But as far as Gilly's of old, we kind of tie a bow on that, and we support, and we'll see what happens moving forward.
Doink, doink, no triple doink here, just a double again.
Story 2. Super Bowl 58. This is not Double Doinks and Sackles, but it could very well be an episode of this. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. I really was pretty wrecked after that game. And let me just first say, I'm very fortunate. I root for a team that can make it to the Super Bowl. As my friends have shared, most of them have not been to a Super Bowl, and let alone get to cheer them on a Super Bowl. And I was very aware of that, and I was very pleased with that, and I was also very confident my team would win. And they did not. And there are many reasons why that might have happened. We can first point at Dre Greenlaw's injury, his freak injury where he ran on the field. It sucked. It really sucked. If he was playing in that game, and maybe let's go from the beginning. That was a very well-played game on both sides. It was very highly contested. It was tense. The first quarter, there was no points. The 49ers took a 10-point lead at one point. We'll get into that and why that didn't really matter. I felt it's just the same narrative of Kyle Shanahan can't hold a lead. But each side was very, very, they played very close. If I told you that Kansas City, their running game consisted of 66 yards by Patrick Mahomes and then 59 yards by Pacheco, the only touchdowns scored were by Mecole Hardman and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And Travis Kelce didn't catch a touchdown. And he got his catches, but he didn't break the Niners. I would have said that's a great outcome, especially after the Niners gave up so many yards and so much offense to Green Bay and Detroit in those previous playoff games. I would have loved to hear it. And yet, that wasn't enough. The Dre Greenlaw injury was very devastating. A freak injury where he just was very revved up to get on the field, and all of a sudden he just kind of like ruptured his Achilles and went down a heap, and he was gone. He was done for the game. And he would have been able to probably lower that yardage on Patrick Mahomes, him scrambling, maybe Kansas City would have actually been called for a holding call. Then, yeah, this is another one. I don't want to make this as a bunch of gripes because I know no one wants to hear that. But I felt like eventually, well, maybe they wouldn't have called Dre Greenlaw being held either. But Kansas City was repeatedly called for so many holding calls all season long. And this game, they had zero holding calls. And there is a video out there where they just kind of show all the holding calls by Kansas City. And yes, there's holding on every play in the Super Bowl. But these were egregious, just tackling someone on the ground and just keeping them down and not letting them up. And it felt unfair. That's all I'm going to say about that part. The halftime show was great. Usher being the halftime show, I was looking forward to it. Real good 90s music and... Was it 90s? Maybe 2000s. Usher is a great artist and all his music is stellar. I loved everything. All his music. I also bet on all the prop bets, including things that Usher would have sang first. No one got those right. And I won third place. I won like 20 bucks or so in like a prop bet pool. So that was great. But yeah, the halftime show was awesome. Back to the football. Let's see. Jake Moody had a missed extra point at some point. I feel like that's less important because if the Niners did get that extra point, I'm sure Kansas City would have gone for two at some point with one of their touchdowns or whatever. I don't know exactly how that played, but I felt like maybe Yeah, maybe the Niners would have won by one, but I felt like they something would have like changed. A butterfly effect would have caused somehow that game to go to overtime still. Kyle Shanahan, his play calling was good. I probably didn't feel that way early on, like after that game was over. But I think he did kind of go away from CMC. Christian McCaffrey had about 80 yards rushing on 22 carries. And I feel like they couldn't have fed him enough. That offense staggered at some points. It kind of like lost some steam. So they start just throwing the ball again and just going away from what got them there, which is the running game. And then they went back to CMC, and he started running the ball, and then the Kansas City couldn't stop that at some point. But then they kind of went away from it. They played a little scared, and then we had overtime with that last-second field goal to tie it. And let's talk about overtime. Now, I've just recently revisited this with a coworker recently this week. Everyone talks about how this is the first time in NFL playoff history where both teams get a chance to possess the ball and not just one team scores a touchdown and that's over. So the Niners won the toss and they elected to receive because that's kind of what you would do before. And then there's footage of Mahomes and Kansas City going, they want the ball first. They want the ball first. Of course we want it. And of course that might have been the case. They may have studied that. I don't think anyone really knew how this new rendition would play out because everyone would just want to score first. Also, Shanahan also said he wanted to get the ball first because the defense was just on the field and he didn't want to completely waste all their energy going back on defense and trying to stop Kansas City from scoring. And that makes sense. Really, really, yeah. There were a total of two possessions in that overtime. The Niners had about 8 minutes or so, maybe more. I don't exactly know. I haven't looked it up. And Kansas City had the last possession where they scored the Mecole Hardman touchdown. I felt like the Niners tried their hardest. They really pounded that ball. They really like controlled the time of possession so much that they pretty much had all the time in overtime. And then they just kind of like lost momentum and couldn't score and they had to kick a field goal. But there's also that play, I think a second or a third down. And there's a whole bunch of stuff about how one of the linemen blocked the wrong player and allowed Chris Jones to come right up the middle, and Purdy could not have gotten the ball fast enough out, and he just had to throw it away. And on the same play, you see Brandon Ayuk go on a pattern, a crossing pattern, I think, into the end zone, make a right turn, and he was completely wide open. He shook his defender, and he was wide open. If the Niners had another half second and was able to block Chris Jones a little more, he would have totally seen Ayuk free for the touchdown. And this might have been because we had like a backup offensive lineman playing at that point. And it's now I'm just remembering all this stuff. And yeah, the Niners could have scored a touchdown, and the whole thing about getting the ball first could have been for naught. But as everyone said, Kansas City was probably definitely going to go for two if they score a touchdown. And we'll never know, and they probably did, and who knows what would happen. And so we can go back to the holding, and that's those holding calls on that last drive as well. And yeah, it's just cut to the chase. I think the Niners played pretty well. They didn't play enough to win the game, but they played pretty well. And this makes me not want to have my team make the Super Bowl now after experiencing that. I was, as I said at the beginning, That really destroyed me, that game. I was tense. I was clutching either, like, I think I was clutching one of our challenge flags in the garage. I was just sweating, and I think someone at one point might have been Kelly Walter said, "Boy, everyone's really quiet right now. This is very, very, very tense right now." And yeah, it was. I wasn't mad she said that. I was glad someone broke the ice and said that. But Niners played as well as they could. If the luck broke once or twice, they would have won that game. Probably won the game in regulation if they really did have the luck on their side. I want my team to win a Super Bowl, but now this is a third straight one now they've lost. And I kind of don't want them to go back right now at this point. I will cheer them on, but I don't want to experience that again, a fourth, unless I can see some kind of progress in their play calling in these very pivotal games. It's just making me really, really sad, and I don't know how. I've already felt like nervous watching them go into another Super Bowl, thinking, I don't think they can win it. Not Kyle Shanahan. He's just has this like this thing on him where he just can't win the big one, and now I'm starting to believe it. I'm sure that's just psychologically some kind of like. Kind of weird garbage in my head thinking that, but I can't shake that feeling, and I really hope to see something maybe in the play calling this year. This regular season they've had stretches of games where they just don't know how to play like their true self, and they play like something else, and that's when they start losing and have losing streaks. That's what happened this year with the 3-game losing streak. They just didn't know how to play in themselves. They also had injuries also as well. But it was rough to watch that game, I have to admit. I wish my friends to have their teams go to the Super Bowl so I can see them and see them stress out during this game, because it certainly wasn't great. But I don't want them to go through a game. Maybe I do. I don't know. I wish I back in the day when I had Bill Walsh as the coach or George Seifert as the coach, I trusted the team to play well. And this team, there are times where I don't trust it, because I know what they're made of. And in those moments when you're vulnerable and you really can't make a mistake, this team has made mistakes. And I'm trying to just have a positive spin on future seasons of watching the 49ers play. And maybe I don't know if I really want to see them go again just to lose again, possibly. It's just devastating. I was wrecked. I was wrecked. I was emotional. I scheduled a trip 2 days after, hoping like I would celebrate their win, and definitely didn't. And I just talked with my friend's new husband, and he was a Niner fan. And at first, he thought I wanted to revel in the pain, but he knew I was devastated by how this game played out. And I can really point my finger at someone making a mistake, but all I know is I don't ever want to experience something like that, where they played so well, so tight, and they could have won the game. I didn't expect a blowout. Kansas City is a great team, though they don't have much of anything else besides Mahomes and Kelsey. Oh, and Kelsey. Oh, that ending. That ending was brutal. That Kansas City team was not great, but they played enough to win, and that's good enough sometimes. And sometimes you just need luck. This wasn't as all therapeutic as I thought it'd be. But yeah, going through free agency this week, I heard on the radio or on a podcast where free agency should be kind of closed off to the public and to the media. Kind of like wrestling, wrestling storylines. During this off season, people shouldn't know what happens to their football team, what players they get, what players they lose, until game one of the regular season when they see all the different players come out of the locker room. Like, can you imagine what Baltimore would think if week one, coming out, Derrick Henry as their running back? People would lose their mind. Minnesota coming out, not seeing Kirk Cousins, but Sam Darnold. Maybe they can let them know who they drafted. Drafting could be completely open. That's probably fine. But can you imagine Atlanta? First game of the season. Kirk Cousins. That would be funny. I'm trying to distract myself from the 49ers loss. But yeah, this is the... That's a recap on the Niners Super Bowl loss. I'm sure friends would love to have their team in the Super Bowl. Story 3, The Violin. All right, just opened up my new toy. A little background. The last time I played a violin was probably when I was like 13 or 14. And I just looked at my old like violin, my music books and stuff that I used to play and kind of look, and I can't believe I've been able to play some of this like old stuff, and like all the notes there. I need to be able to read notes, but I made a purchase, and I just purchased an electric violin. Oh, it's very flat. Now, when I last played, I was playing a full-size violin. There was like only one size. And now I'm holding this. This feels very tiny. But now I'm just going to attempt to tune it. It's amazing that you can tune instruments with the little help that I never would have had. Right, this feels like it needs to be slightly less. Let's see how this goes. Ooh, way off. That's an F. It must be a G. Yeah, I've been wanting to play the violin for quite some time now. Since I just said, like, age 13. And there was a reason probably why I stopped playing it. It was just really difficult to focus, while at the same time, I had other issues where I was getting too old for it. Well, too old for me to have the time for it. I was getting to high school. I only started to play, like, non-classical stuff. I played a lot of classical stuff while I was learning. And I just got really, really frustrated of playing the same thing over and over and over. And I remember the very, like, last songs I were playing was, like, maybe Indiana Jones or Superman or even, like, Ragtime or something. It just sounded like it was a fun song to play. And don't get me wrong, I was probably a pretty advanced violin player. It's crazy for me to think that, judging how I can't really play it at all well right now. I'm recording this after... You're hearing me practice right now as a musical bed to my commentary. Hope this works. And I'm going to kind of turn it down a little bit so you don't hear the horror that I'm trying to play. But, yeah, I've been trying to get back into it. And I can keep thinking about how, like, I would hear notes and I'd move my fingers to kind of emulate that. And then as the years gone on, when I turned 20 and then 25 and then 30, I still would hear violin or orchestral music on TV or something. I would be able to kind of finger the notes and just kind of like, oh, it plays like this or something. The first thing that goes after you learn music for a long time, and I played for 7-8 years, is the ability to read the notes. And I've been looking at the notes. I had a lesson when I was last practicing. And you need to say the note while you play it. Kind of cue the note with something in your mind by saying it. And so when you start playing it and you can start to identify what you're doing, it kind of connects. And I definitely need to carve out some time to do that. Yeah, I bought some violin books, too. I bought some, like, really, some classical music. Not classical music. I mean, that's, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Some popular music I bought. And it's a lot of, like, got Yellow Card. You got some popular pop music. I don't believe I saw, or might have seen, maybe a Taylor Swift song here and there in these books. My goal is to be able to play that and be able to play it on this electric violin that you're hearing me play right now. And electric violin, regular violin, kind of the same. If you want the electrical, you want the reverb, you want the sheer intensity of the note be picked up and kind of blast through an amplifier. That's why I'm doing that. I definitely didn't want, like, a regular classical violin to relearn with. I definitely wanted something that didn't remind me of just the old school, old style classical stuff. I know my plan is to be able to read the music, play the notes, have the right posture, right mannerism, right technique in playing it well, being able to kind of... Oh, yeah. And the other thing about learning how to play a violin again, or just music in general, is when you see music, you are essentially speed reading it. If you don't read the music or look at the music or essentially play and just mess up the entirety of what you're playing, you are just... You will hear in some of these tunes that I'm playing where my first go at it is awful. But as I'm playing each note and, like, learning where to put my finger to kind of play the note, I'm remembering it in kind of, like, very instinctively. So when I try a second time, the second time is 200% better. you're able to go, oh yeah, that's right, I'm supposed to do this and do that, do this. And just like how it got me away from playing the first time when I was a kid, you need to practice to be able to get every instinct, every kind of placement of your finger on the violin, be able to like find the notes correctly. It takes time and a lot of effort to be able to do it. And it's definitely something that I need to have time to do. And I haven't had that much time to do it since October, since I last practiced. But yeah, I want to be able to play, read music, identify notes, play some of my old, like, early beginner violin music, be able to play that somewhat well, be able to kind of gain and understand how to connect notes together while you're playing it. And then eventually, I hope, after just mastering those kind of beginner music books. And there's also some things online that I'm supposed to be able to kind of consult too. It's going to take several hours. I feel like it's going to take at least 50 to 100 hours of practice and study to be able to play that popular music book that I got. To play, like, I don't know. Let's see. We got Beautiful by Linda Perry. We have Bad Day by Daniel Powder. We have Beautiful Day by Bono. We got Bob Carlyle. We have Brave by Sarah Bareilles. I would love to be able to play Brave by Sarah Bareilles. We have Breakaway by Avril Lavigne. Huh. Could have sworn that was Kelly Clarkson. Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen. See, to be able to play that, it's kind of fun. I've heard how it goes. I chose a violin long ago because I knew that music that comes off a violin is just beautiful, and I want to be able to play not just your standard classical music. What else do we have here? Got a Beyonce song, Countdown. Yeah, I'm trying not to look at this too often because it just gets me ahead of my progression of learning how to do this correctly. I got Fields of Gold by Sting. As I continue to look at more of the songs in this book. I got Fallen by Alicia Keys. That. Firework by Katy Perry. I got Jewel song, Foolish Games. It's just, I want to be able to play, here we go, it's a Taylor Swift song. And if you watch The Bear, you know what song I'm looking at. And looking at the music for Love Story, it looks very simple. If I really tried to give myself a week of relearning the notes, and just skipping the basic beginner books that I used to play to just kind of get me my brain in tune with playing again, I could probably play Love Story in about a week or two, maybe. 100 Years by John Andrasik of Five for Fighting. See, I'm going to close this book now. It's going to get me excited, but then I need to put the work. You always need to put in the work to be able to play. There's not much else for me to kind of share. It's a progression. It's something that I need to eventually get myself some time to, just like working out on the Peloton, get myself at least a couple hours a week, a few hours a week of just practice and be able to get my mind into be able to play and read and understand sheet music, to play this kind of stuff. Because I would love to be able to just kind of play this again. Mostly because I want to be able to do this again. Because one of the reasons why I stopped playing the violin, not just because I got bored with it or I like lost focus of it and I started high school, but it's when my family unit became just my mom and my brother and myself. And I felt like when that happened, when my father left the family, and kind of, we've already talked about this before, I didn't want to play the violin anymore, really, because the lessons were going to be expensive, a single family income with my mom only, like, supporting us. It just didn't seem right for me to continue to try and play the violin. And honestly, I didn't see myself doing it going into high school and to college. If I did play in high school and college, boy, what kind of person would I be able to continue in getting better past, like, early advanced. But yeah, it's, I just want to be able to play again to show my mom that I could do it again after all these years. Hopefully not before it's too late or anything like that. But yeah, I know that this musical ability is still in me. I still find it gratifying to be able to play something. As we get further and further into this music that you hear in the bed of this, I play some pretty difficult stuff that my 7 or 8 year old self would not be able to play after 3 days. No, there's no way I could have done it. The only reason why I did is I did absolutely unlock some stuff while playing some of this, and I was able to kind of pick this up by understanding how to play those notes, even though I don't remember. Some of these songs sound familiar, but it took a while for me to get back and understand and hear that stuff. But yeah, that's the goal. I want to be able to play better, and almost kind of like if I could play, not professionally, but I want to be able to play that it impresses people, hopefully. And I'm not doing it to impress people also. I'm doing it to impress myself, to be able to take satisfaction and to be able to play the violin again. Electric violin for that too. We're going to end this episode by hearing some Zelda music that I recorded while going to a concert late in 2023 at the Kroc Center, where this quartet, the string quartet with a viola, a violin, a cello, and a bass, played some Zelda music, and I really want to be able to do this again. Thank you.
the night. Nature's chorus soothes the soul. The summer air is thick and warm. Let reactions lose control.
Social Dragonfly is created, edited, and produced by me, Andrew Lee. It is made with Adobe software. It is hosted by Anchor, a Spotify company. Special thanks to Aduro the band, who gave me permission to use their music.